Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. You can find us on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. We'll be with you this week to preview the Sony Open over at the Wailea Country Club on Maui. So this will be a lot, or Honolulu, actually. They moved from Maui to Honolulu this weekend.
Correct.
So that'll be a lot of fun as well. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Good, good. It's fun to get a little early recording here on a Monday. Knockout DraftKings dropped their prices early so we can get everything put together in the models, or what we think is going to be put together in the models.
All right.
Lots of fun stuff there. But before we get to Sony, let's talk Century. Let's talk, yeah, Morikawa bogey free until like, what was it, the 12th hole, maybe 14th hole. And then it went bogey, 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 kaboom. So, yeah. What do you think about that? Like, it's weird because, like, there's the fall of Morikawa, even though we saw great golf. And then there's just John Rahm being John Rahm.
Right.
So what do you, what would you take away from the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was more of a collapse than, I mean, Rahm shoots 63, which 63 is very possible at that golf course. I think there were at least one other
on Saturday.
Yeah. So it's, and like Cam Young shoots 64 on Sunday. It's not like 63 is like, you know, it's not like he's playing Augusta to shoot 63. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just Colin just collapsed. I mean, he cruised, like you said, bogey free until the 14th hole on Sunday, and then hits a thin shot out of the bunker, makes bogey, and then 15 is where he really made the huge mistake. He hit it right of 15. I watched that afterwards. Brandel Cham Lee called it his third shot, the hardest shot on the PGA Tour. Really? The thing is, like, and I've been thinking about this a lot, like, if you play a lot of golf, you're very serious about it, and you're obviously as good as these guys, which I'm nowhere near these guys. But when you start working on something, you don't have the confidence in that. And so, like what I heard over the telecast over the few days that I watched there, obviously he changed his putting, did great for the first 3 days, and really, you know, made some putts on Sunday too. But he also worked on his chipping. Like that was – his chipping and basically his short game was his bugaboo last year, because the ball striking is there for him. He's great off the tee, great, maybe one of the best iron players in the world. But you work on that chipping, you just don't have the confidence to hit that difficult fucking chip shot when all the pressure is on. So it was just an epic collapse, but it's golf. I mean, like, it is what it is. He was 9 shots up after Rahm played his first hole. Mm-hmm. And ends up losing by 2. It's just rough. I mean, it's just, I don't know what else to say about it.
And like they showed, I didn't watch all the interviews. I saw like a clip on Twitter, and he had to get interviewed because, you know, that's what you have to do. Because unlike other sports or referees, you actually have to show up to the mic regardless of what you do. And they basically, the question was, how are you feeling, calm? Our colleague goes, sadness. I'm like, yeah, you got to feel for the dude. Because like, it's not even the money. It's more like he's been, last year was so bad for him compared to what he's used to.
Right.
To be able to come out the gate with the changes he just made, which we talked about on the last show, new driver. He took all the short game lessons. That's a lot going on in your head when, yep, when your first competitive event back. That's a lot. Like if you and I were to get like a new wedge, our first round would be second guessing every shot we hit. Like these guys are like, it's crazy. And to go out there and just kind of just cruise, look like the Colin of old, then to kind of fall apart and just watch it unravel. It's a tough one, given he's a beast. I'm not like too worried about it, but I'd like to see him playing this weekend, get back on the horse, but he's not. And we'll see how that goes. He's a pro. I'm not, but it was tough to see. Rahm was Rahm. Like I saw a bunch of tweets. Like what he's done in his last 5 events between DP World Tour and PGA or second place or better. Like the dude, we talked about it last week. Like if you play John Rahm, if you think the best player in the world shows up with his A game, cause he's going to beat everybody. That's just what he does. And he did it. And I was thinking like midway through Sunday before he made his real charge, because he even said it was like on the 9th hole when he birdied it. He felt like, okay, now I can get a streak going or something. He felt like it was just like a quiet, he's like all of a sudden he's in 4th place, which is a quiet top 5 Rahm finish. Like didn't really hear much about him, and boom, makes his charge, does his thing. it was pretty nasty. But what other takeaways, if you have any, like Homa played good, Hoagie did his thing. He's flying on as we speak. He's probably already landed in LA. He's going to the title game, then flying back to the Sony. He's got the PJ going. Don't you worry.
I guess the title game's in LA, right?
Yeah, it's in LA, so that it's not that sense. Bad. And you know, he made
still, like it's like a 3 or 4 hour flight, isn't it?
He made like $800,000 over the weekend. So he's gonna PJ it back and forth.
I mean, I don't blame him.
I don't either. When it's TCU, no offense to TCU, they're fun to watch. When are they actually gonna, you know, well, with the expanded playoffs, actually, you never know now.
That's
but
true.
For years they kind of just got always got screwed out of any chance. And so that's a big thing. Like, any other takeaways? Because there was a lot of great golf. Homa on Saturday playing with JT, which is fun to watch two buddies playing golf. Plus, Homa played well. There was a lot of up and downs throughout the whole weekend you can kind of hit on if you want.
Yeah, JJ Spawn was another kind of surprise guy. You talked about a little bit about Luke List before we came on. Another guy who was up there, Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, all weekend. Yeah,
I remember you mentioning him and just kind of like, I don't remember exactly, but we talked about him a little bit on the show last weekend. I was nowhere near picking him, but I mean, it just proves like kind of this golf course in particular doesn't necessarily, you don't have to necessarily bomb it in order to be successful there. And Spieth had some, you know, had a good showing for a little while. He was up there. Otherwise, I mean, pretty run of the mill kind of standard, what you would expect. A lot of these new guys down at the bottom, and Xander withdrew. So that was rough.
If you played Xander, you kind of should have known better. Like, there was a ton of reports about how bad his back was. He wanted an MRI. Like even before he started round one, he said he was playing with like a 3-quarter swing.
Right.
He ain't making it 4 rounds on the one. What a caddy came out and said was the toughest course to walk in golf.
Right. I mean, it's like, very fucking hilly. Yeah.
It just wasn't happening. If you played him, you know, that's called tournament leverage, I guess, if you want. But there's a difference in tournament leverage and just full YOLO.
Right.
there's a difference. So that's something to think about. And the only other thing I'd mention, because we could pick it all apart, as you mentioned, but JT kind of had a really weird week. A lot of ups and downs for JT to finish where he finished. But I have no concerns about that man either. So.
And being super high owned. I mean, like, I didn't expect him to be that high owned. In hindsight, obviously, with Rom being less owned than what was projected. I mean, that's just the way that it goes quite often, though. You know, these projection sites are good at getting it into a certain range. But, like, when you actually play the people, like, everybody's listening to stuff saying, oh, this guy's going to be high owned all week. So it's just one of those things where getting back in the groove here with golf, got to remember.
And it's like, you know, you play in the Mayo, and whoever Mayo talks about are always like those ownerships always so different from like the $3.20 max compared to even junkies, because they either listen to us, Mayo, whatever. And you can see different ownerships. Like, you can totally see it's the listenership, as you're saying, or whoever's reading the content and so on and so forth.
Right.
So kind of know your target demo. I know like Dyer talks about that in our chat. Dom joined us. We've missed Dom. He said JT and Cantley highly disappointed start to 2023. It was fun to get back in there. It was a great weekend until Morikawa's collapse, but still great late night golf. We're going to get it again this week, which is pretty awesome. So let's just get into it. Sony Open. It's been a staple on the tour for quite some time now, Jesse. So as I do this in the proper order this week, could you give us some past event history, please?
Yeah. So last year, Hideki Matsuyama hit the 3-wood of his life.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah. It seems like it was forever ago, though. He won in a playoff over Russell Henley at 23 under. Kevin Na was the 2021 champion, 21 under, one shot over Kirk and Neiman. Cam Smith won in 2020, 11 under. Playoff over Brendan Steele. 2019 was Kuchar, 22 under, four shots over Putnam. Kizire won in 2018, 17 under, playoff over Hahn. JT shot the tournament record, and I think he shot 59 one round at this course in 2017. 27 under. Seven shots over Rose, and Henley's won this in the past, and I think that's Palmer as well. I don't know if he's in the field this week. I would think he would be.
Yes, he is.
ZJ he is. As well. Mm-hmm. Past champions, that really all that really matters.
Yeah, and something we mentioned last week, kind of a preview for this week, is playing the Century usually has great results for this week, and Justin Ray always puts out awesome data. Eight of the last 9 winners at the Sony played the previous week of the Century. Keep that in mind. Of the 51 players the last 2 years to tee it up in the Century and the Sony, 42 of those, 51, 82% went on to make the cut this week. So that's something to think about. Like, if you have a chance of 80% or more potentially making the cut this week, that's a nice, if you have to flip a coin and differ between two people,
right?
That's a good breaking point. It's like, it's not a must by any means, especially like we use a lot of these trends, but the level of talent on golf these days, like I kind of, we talked about with Tom Kim last week, I wasn't worried about a first timer there. The dude's like playing everything well. Kind of similar this week. It'll be a definite like thing I look at, but is it going to be an end all be all like it might have been like 2-3 years ago? Probably not. So something to keep in mind there. But I know we will reference it a lot because it is a very viable situation when you take a look at that. And the stats go deep, right? So like 17 of the last 24 winners, blah blah blah. It's a very good correlation. Let's put it that way. And that'll take us to the Wiley Country Club. It is a par 70. A little over 7,000 yards. So small course, only two par fives, both very gettable par fives and two. You need to take advantage of these. Birdies are better for sure on this hole. These two holes are you're in big trouble. 10 par fours, or 12 par fours, sorry. 10 of them are between 4 and 450. So you want to attack that range if you're looking into something along that line. A lot of dog legs, a lot of narrow fairways, complete opposite of last week. It is on the coast, so watch the weather. It's Bermuda pretty much throughout, the greens and everything, not super fast because, you know, ocean courses don't have the fastest of greens because it'll fly off if it's windy. One thing to keep in mind, I was reading, usually the rough is like, it's a little trouble, you know, 2 to 2.25 inches. They've grown it out to 3 inches this week. So that is thick. That is very thick, folks. So that'll make a big, you know, some people might not say 3/4 matters. It does. So it's definitely gonna make a big difference in that regard. Fairways are key. Driving distance is not a big deal. It's a short course. It's a shot maker's course, which is fun. Completely different than last week. So hit your fairways. Decent approach game. Might have to be good around the green. Par is a good score on some of these holes. You're not going to see a massive scores like we did last week. And it's going to turn into a putting contest. I think I read somewhere that like this is one of the top three courses yearly in strokes game putting to the winner. It was like 48% increased last year. So like some crazy number in a of how important that stat was compared to all other stats in golf that week. So it's a putting contest in the end, but you still got to get there. And that's where you're going to want to look at driving accuracy, good approach game, decent around the green, just to say par from time to time. The par four scoring that I mentioned, par five is kind of where I'm looking at on this course. What kind of things are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, it's really similar to what you just kind of said there. I mean, obviously it's typically a birdie fest with kind of that one outlier being that 11 under Cam Smith win in 2020. I think that was probably weather related, but otherwise they're going to get to the high mid teens or, you know, to 20 under par at least to win this. So you got to have birdie or better percentage. And then, like you said, it's a lot of kind of less than driver off the tee, but greens in regulation, plenty of course history. I weight that, you know, pretty heavily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that when we start talking picks here in a second, I highlighted certain guys in my model because, again, like similar to last week, the models were still, you know, just one really event in. So I always use last 24 rounds. It'll give me an idea. Obviously, when Tom Kim's my number one ranked golfer, makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some other guys you kind of scratch your head. But then you look at past event history, even recent results, just because the season went so late, kind of get a feel for things here. But, yeah, past events going to be very huge, as we mentioned. All right, Jesse, let's get at it. DraftKings picks for the week here, 10K and above. You got Tommy Kim at 10.5, the highest priced golfer in the field. Sung J.M. at 10.3, Hideki at 10.1, and Jordan Spieth at 10,000. Jordan Spieth is the highest ranked OWGR golfer in this field, but he's the fourth priced golfer on DraftKings. How do you like these four golfers?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, pick your poison up here. I mean, obviously, Tom Kim, that price is hard to stomach just because we haven't ever seen him as the highest priced golfer in a field, at least not like a legitimate field that I remember anyways. But the form is there. So I think he's fine. Sungjae, another guy who's played here four times, missed cut 56th, 21st, 16th in those four starts. So, I mean, not really great finishes. I think he's fine. Hideki, obviously defending champion, but Jordan Spieth is who I would be the pivot off of Tom Kim, if it's me. You know, finished 13th last week. That's fine. He flashed some good form, I feel like, and I think he's going to have a big year. And in his course history, missed cut in 2019, 18th, third missed cut. So those are the 3 years previous to 2019. So he's been around here a few times. This is that third place finish. So Jordan is my kind of pivot off of Tom Kim, but it's just hard not to play, you know, Tom Kim.
I like Tom Kim quite a bit. I don't have to elaborate that at all. It's just, if you were to see my model, it's pretty much top five on most categories I have highlighted here, with a few exceptions. So the boy is playing great golf.
Yeah.
So no problem with that at all. The guys I like, I love the Spieth call. It's weird because this is why, again, you know, 80th in my model has been horrible, fairways gained, whatever. But I love the way he played last week. I like the way he finished last season overall. There was a lot of good things to look at with Spieth. Recent history, hasn't played this in a while. But it's a guy I've been liking a lot last season. I'm going to keep carrying that into this season. He's a guy that can play a course like this very well. When he gets going, you want to talk about a hot putter, one of the best putters on tour, like when he really gets comfortable. So I don't mind a Spieth call at all. The one I'll mention, though, is Hideki. I said it last week. Kind of wish I stuck with it a little more because he came in super low owned in that range. But, you know, defending champion takes some merit there. We know he's one of the best approach players in golf when he's locked in. We talk about tournament history first. 19th, 12th, 51st, so 4 for 4 on cuts the last 4 years. That's pretty good as well. So he'd be a guy I wouldn't mind going to as well off the Tom Kim if somehow Spieth also gets some love, which I think he should at 10K. So I think Hideki's another guy to look at. It's just a weekly – it seems like it's almost a weekly deal. When Hideki's in a field and he's priced high, he seems to always get overlooked compared to the other guys around him. Always does.
Yeah.
And when it's an approach fest, if he's on – and that's a big if because he's had the back issues, but he had that whole – offseason, it looks like he was fine last week. One of the best approach players we've seen in a long time. So I'll take the guy that won here last year that might be getting comfortable again, playing some good golf. I'll take Hideki as a nice pivot as well in that range. All right, 9,000. We got Tom Hoagie at 99, Russell Henley at 98, Harmon 97, Connors 96, Horschel 95, Keegan 93, McNeely 91, and Taylor Montgomery up to $9,000. Another fun name from the swing season. What do you like in this 9K range?
For me, it starts with Henley at 9,800, second place finish here last year, 11th the year before that. And then obviously played last week, finished 30th, which is out of 40 golfers, not great, but has a win in the last couple months in that fall swing. Corey Connors has really good course history, 11th, 12th, and 39th in his last three starts. He played here last year, 2020, and then 2018. So, solid there, and then played last week, finished basically middle of the pack, 18th. He's a ball striker, so if the putter gets hot with him, I like his chances. Mav McNeely's another guy, 9,100, 27th here last year, coming off a solid swing or fall season where he had some really good starts as far as finishing inside the top 20. And then Taylor Montgomery, never played here, but another guy who had some good form during the fall swing. So the model likes him for that reason, and I think he's fine.
I forgot to mention, sorry, that another thing for the Hideki Matsuyama club that I'm on, Justin Rays, he only had two tweets for this event so far earlier today. The second one was on Hideki. Scoring average ranks on the PGA Tour since the beginning of 2017 and 18. He's overall 16th, just in general, scoring-wise. But you put him on courses that are under 7,100 yards, a.k.a. this course, he's third in all the PGA Tour since 2017 and 18. He loves these small courses because, again, it's a shot maker's approach course. This is what he does when he's locked in. And a lot of that might have been during his, hot phase, like when he was really crushing things. So I want to preface that. But that stood out as well for Hideki that, hey, we know golfers have types of courses they like.
For sure.
This could be one of them. But back to the 9K range. Hoagie intrigues me. Not sure how the hangover is going to be come Tuesday, but
it's a lot of fucking travel.
That's a lot of travel. But bright side, he'll gain a few hours of sleep going back to Hawaii. That's a plus.
I would assume he'd catch a red eye after the game tonight, right?
Yeah, he's going to probably hop on the PJ and come on back. He'll probably land before midnight in Hawaii. But the thing with him is he's one of the better approach players, especially mid to long iron players on the tour these days. A lot of birdie chances, second DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. So he's a guy I'm intrigued by. I don't know if I can go there, but I'm very intrigued by it. I like the Henley calls you mentioned. He's one of the best in fairways game in this field and one of the best in the approach game from 125 to 150. So that's good too. What's interesting for a putting contest like we talked about, Corey Connors rates out well here, like you said, plays well here. So go figure.
Yep.
It's just one of those things. But, he's sixth in my model just in general. He finished the season up. And you mentioned his tournament history is outstanding. So I think Connors is a really strong pull. For those that are thinking about playing Billy Ho, don't play Billy Ho. There's a lot of stuff out there on Twitter. Like Tambo posted a article or a quote from somebody that Billy Ho said he's likely pulling out and going back to train for get ready for the Waste Management Open. So keep that in mind. If you feel like playing Billy Ho, don't. Other than that, though, Keegan's always interesting, but I love Matt McNeely in this field at $9,100. You mentioned his 27th place finish here last year. He plays great on shorter courses, especially shorter ocean courses. This is a jam for Matt McNeely. So I think it's a really, really good spot here for him. Finish the season strong, 27th in Houston, 10th at the Worldwide Technology, 18th at the CJ Cup. Playing some strong golf like we know Mav can. And eventually, we've talked about it for at least a year now, he's going to break through eventually. It's coming. I don't know if it's this weekend. It's like early in the season to break through. But I think Mav at 91 is very, very strong as well. So fun range here. Could be some nice, you know, we talk about it a lot. Skip the 10K range and two or three pack the nine. It's tough to skip this 10K range. There's different options in this 9K range that makes it a little more appealing. 8K range now. KH Lee coming off a nice week at $8,700. Scott at 86. Just kind of, he seemed like he got it on a run and then he bogey or something. It was crazy. 86. Cam Davis, 85. Spawn, 84. Mitchell, 83. Siwoo Kim, 82. Bez at 81. And Andrew Putnam, 8,000. As well as Griot at 8,000. So what do you like in this range?
Start with KH Lee at 8,700. I mentioned him last week, and I don't know, he just plays well in birdie fest. Finished seventh last week. Had a solid fall swing as well. Has played here four times, made the cut twice. Finished 48th last year and 19th the year before that. Cam Davis, like, he's a guy that you don't expect to play well at a place where it's not like just bomb it out there and gouge it. But he does have some really good success around this course. 27th last year, 31st the year before, and 9th in 2020. Did miss the cut in 2019. But I feel like a lot of people just consider him a bomber, and so they kind of glance over him at these types of events. But he actually plays well, pretty well here. I kind of want to click on JJ Spawn, but the course history is not good. I will say that, you know, obviously he's probably playing the best golf of his life right now. I mean, come off the top five and one of the best fields of the year at the Tournament Champions. So if you want to just completely ignore course history and play him, I wouldn't argue against it. 8,100, Bezenhout, 17th here last year. Another guy played a lot of false, or has been playing over on the European Tour, but also played some false swing events on the PGA Tour, and has a couple top fives in his last three starts. So that's pretty solid. And then Putnam, he's played here enough. Good fall swing, 27th here last year, missed cut the year before that, but does have a second place finish in 2019. So the course history is there for him as well.
Yeah, it's a fun range, especially this is where you can start to diversify if you want to take some chalk early. Like KH Lee coming off a really strong week where he finished 77 when all things were said and done. And we know this is a resort course technically, and KH Lee loves those resort courses where you can get it going. And he finished 48th and 19th here the last two seasons. So I think he's a fun one because I think a lot of people might go Taylor Montgomery at 9K or drop down. Love the Cam Davis call. I've always loved playing Cam Davis. You mentioned the last 3 years, how he's played here. If you look back, I should have had this ready, but I remember from other events on the fall swing, he plays these shorter shot maker courses very, very well. Very, very well. As you mentioned, he's not just a bomber. And one reason that kind of stood out to me is looking at his stats while you were talking, like over the last 24 rounds, he's 124th and 144 person field right now in fairways gained. He can bomb the ball. He's not accurate with it. So this puts his driver away potentially. And that helps him because I can't remember what tournament we were watching. It was like a lot of three woods off the tee. And he just lace it like 280-ish, 300 or something because he got that bomb still with it.
Right.
And he'd hit his approach shots in because once you take his fairways away, he's 10th in DK scoring. He's proximity 175. He's 10th. He's just really good. He's like at least top 40 in like every proximity stat. So he can compete, give himself chances at birdies. And if he gets out with the putter, I like it a lot. So I think it really shows that, yes, he can bomb the crap out of a ball, but its accuracy is an issue with him. That's what gets him in trouble. Well, he doesn't need to at this golf course. So that's tremendous. So Cam Davis at 85, I like quite a bit. That's another reason why Keith Mitchell does really well here. He's got really good history here. First, he loves Bermuda. We know that with Killer Keith. But 7th, 14th, missed cut, 16th, 25th the last 4 years. T25 or better in four of the last 5 years. That's pretty darn good for Keith Mitchell at $8,300. He rates really well. He finished the season very strong. So I like that. Siwoo Kim. Yeah, he's going to get me again. Siwoo Kim, 55th, 25th, missed cut 58th, his last four appearances here. He finished the season playing really, really good golf. So I think that's interesting. And then I love Seabez all the time because he's just a good, pure striker. Don't mind the Putnam call. But I think that Siwoo, Keith Mitchell area could be different, as well as KH Lee potentially. But love the Cam Davis shot. I think there's a lot to putting the driver away. There's a lot to it because I even know as a guy that slices my driver, certain days you say, screw it, we're taking shorter distance and we're going three wood and we're going to call it good. And it makes it at least you can play bogey golf that way.
Right.
I mean, life is good. So he can probably do a lot better than I can. 75 to 79, we got Denny McCarthy, Matt Kuchar, Harris English, Alex Smalley, JT Poston, Kurt Kitayama, Hayden Buckley, Will Gordon, Gary Woodland with his new clubs. I think he went to Cobra off of Wilson, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Svensson, Nick Hardy. What do you like in this range?
Denny McCarthy at 7,900, 48th here last year. Hasn't missed a cut since the Wyndham all the way back in August. Hayden Buckley finished 12th here last year and had a bunch of solid starts during the fall swing there. Has a top five at the Zozo and a few other good finishes for him. Will Gordon, two straight missed cuts here. That's 2021. He didn't play here last year, but he did miss the cut in both of his starts. I do feel like it's kind of like a JJ Spahn situation. Obviously, JJ Spahn's a better golfer, or is playing better golf right now. That I'm willing to throw out some course history there and just kind of go off of current form, which isn't really current form, but either way. Svensson, he finished, I think, last week.
No.
But he played. And has good course history. Seventh here last year, 43rd in his 2019 start. So I think going back to Svensson, I think this is an underprice on him for somebody who, you know, made the tournament champions.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good call as well. I'm on McCarthy at $700. Everything you echoed there. I think Alex Smalley at 78 could be interesting. A really nice fall swing from Smalley as he went T5 at the RSM, T4 at Houston Open, T11 at the Bermuda. 52nd to CJ. So really good fall swing to get that confidence up. Missed the cut here in his only appearance last year. Don't mind going back to him, potentially at lower ownership. Hayden Buckley, Will Gordon, I like both of those as well for reasons you mentioned also. And Svensson might be one of my favorites, $7,500. Yeah, he played last week, finished 37th, which stinks, as you mentioned, but T7 here last year, T43 back in 19. So two for two in his two appearances here is something to keep in mind as well. The one guy I want to ask you about, because we didn't mention him, but I know he'll get asked about a lot. What do you think of Mackenzie Hughes? 21st last week, missed cut the RSM. And he's like 2 for 4 in the last 4 years here.
Yeah, I think he's fine. He actually was kind of up toward the top of the leaderboard. Strong. Yeah, and just had a terrible Friday round and then bounced back really well on Sunday. So, I mean, basically 66, 74, 71, 65 last week. If you just do a little bit better, he's going to finish inside the top 15 at least on those, you know, Friday, Saturday rounds. I think he is definitely playable. I mean, he's kind of in that range, like in the same. He's similar to Svensson in that he played last week and is probably underpriced based on that.
Yep. That's why I just wanted to bring him up because we know he actually can win. So that if he can figure out the putter, that's be the case for a lot of these guys this week. So.
Right.
We'll see how that one plays out. 7K to 74, we got Brendan Todd. If you want to talk about driving accuracy, one of the best on tour. Other than that, it's a roller coaster ride. Chris Kirk, Aaron Rye, Webb Simpson. Man, how that thing just keeps falling backwards. Grayson Sigg, Ben Griffin, Brendan Steele, Pat Kazire, Jaeger, Hahn, Knox, Sue, Merritt, Hubbard. Oh, Hubbard's in here. I missed him earlier. Thompson, Streelman, Lipsky, Palmer, Glover, Kim, Shelton, Reavy. Woo, didn't think the region was that long, but I read them anyways. What do you got over here?
You usually don't read below 70.
I didn't think it was going that far. I had to keep scrolling. I'm like, oh, you doesn't go that far.
That's all right. We're still a little rusty. So Webb Simpson, I only have his starts back to 2015 here, but he's not missed a cut since 2015. He's played every year. For a little while there, he was inside the top three. So last year he finished 61st, 4th, 3rd, 4th, the 3 years prior to that, and 13th, 13th, 13th. The 3 years before that. So the course history is there now. I don't know, man. I mean, I think he's worth like playing in GBPs only. I still don't condone cash this week just because there's not enough data, in my opinion, to, like I said, this guy's a cash play. But if you're playing cash, definitely don't play Webb Simpson. However, I feel like he's worth a sprinkle. If you're playing 20 or 150 lineups, I would get him in some. Russell Knox is similar that his course history is really good. Finished seventh here last year, missed cut the year before that, 32nd, 43rd, 10th, 11th. Played here a bunch and had a really solid fall swing for him. A couple top 30s to end it. So he's been playing well. Sue, yeah, he's one of these new guys who has the potential. So is he worth playing this week? You know, again, GPP only for me, but I think he's worth, you know, sprinkling in a couple. Glover at 7,000 would be another guy. He finished fifth here last year, and then hasn't missed a cut since the Rocket Mortgage all the way back in July. And then last but not least for me, 7,000 is, I'm just gonna call him SH Kim. You know, didn't have a good fall swing, but he's got the potential. So at $7,000, I think he's worth, you know, a stab.
Definitely does. I'm going to start with Grayson Sigg, $7,300. Last season finished 42nd at this event, and he had a really, really good fall swing, 15th at the RSM, 42nd and 11th at the Bermuda. So really good stuff there from Sigg. Ben Griffin's another guy I was riding forever. He was like $6,200 for a while in the fall swing, up to 73. He's playing really good golf. He can get birdies and bunches. He can get bogeys and bunches too. So just keep that in mind. That's why he's great at 62. He's never played here for one. But when you look at his fall swing, 29th at the RSM, 16th at the Houston, 59th at the WWT, 3rd at the Bermuda. The dude can put up stats for a low-price guy, and he can put up a lot of DK scoring. He's 5th in this field over the last 24 rounds in DK scoring. That's what we want down here at $7,300. Like him, he's 5th, and Sig is 8th. So if you want just scores down here, got to make the cut still. But if they make the cut, they're going to put up a lot of DK points for you. So something to keep in mind. The Jaeger Bombs at 72, interesting. You know, we talked about the Corn Ferry, graduated. Pretty decent fall swing. So he's a guy I don't mind. Knox, I have highlighted for sure for everything you mentioned. Hubbard, I'm going to look into him more. His fall swing ended horribly. A DQ, I remember that one. He just said, screw it, I'm out. He played with a different club. He basically pulled a different club out, said, I know I'm out. Yeah. I think I know I'm going to miss the cut, so I'm going to try out a new club. And they bounced him. I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect it. Missed two cuts prior. I know, but he was playing really good golf up till then. Doesn't have great history here, but again, a guy that can score in bunches if he gets going. Keep him in mind. That's about all I have for now. I like your SH Kim call, though. He was a guy we were high on the fall swing, and a dude that can really get it going. Not the best fall swing we could hope for, but a guy that can definitely get it going as well. All right, I'll do it the right way now. 6K range, who do you like?
Stuart Sink, 6,900. Course history is good. It's just a matter of how's he playing right now, and I don't know. Scott Piercy, another guy. Like, he's completely boom or bust, but the course history is decent enough for me to say that, like, a sprinkle or two would work. He's played here a bunch, and he did miss the cut in 2021, which was his last start, but before that he had made the cut in every year since 2015. So solid course history. It's hard for me to click on any other names down here. I don't know, man. Like, you tell me.
I like to make arguments for guys in here, so I will.
I know you. I know you do, and you actually do a good job of it. So I'll just defer to you.
This is where I really like the course history narrative, because most of these guys down here, they're down here for a reason. Boom or bust, for sure. So give me some course history. Ryan Armour, 4 of the 5 made cuts of late, 20th, 32nd the last 2 years. Missed cut 22nd, 39th, so not bad for $6,900. He is a guy that loves short courses. We know that about Ryan Armour. Now, obviously, the current form, not bad, though. 46, 27, 21st, so 3 straight missed cut, or made cuts going into the wintertime. So he's a guy I can get behind. Same with Joseph Bramlett at $6,900. He's another guy that can go boom or bust for you. Ben Taylor at 68. Finished the season really well. 4 straight made cuts, 21st, 3rd at the Houston Open, 59th, 57th. So really, really good fall swing with Ben Taylor. 2 missed cuts here. So keep that in mind. It's the opposite of what we're looking to do here. But a few others, if you just talk about tournament history, Michael Thompson, 5th last year, 25th, 38th, 69th, coming in very bad form. So pick your poison there. I'd rather have Ryan Armour if I want the course history narrative, but he does play this course very, very well. And then a couple others, Cole Hammer, the youngster, I believe out of Texas, played on the fall swing, and he played really well. 5th at the RSM, 27th at the Houston Open. Obviously, his first event here, dude's a scorer, so keep him in mind. I think that's one you can look at. Harry Higgs is another guy, not the best event history when you look at Mr. Higgs. Missed cut, but 32nd, 57th. We look at the fall swing with him, 21st at the RSM, 32nd at the WWT. So he's one. I love Smotherman at $6,300. Hickok. Those are a couple cheapies if you want them. But there's a couple guys down here if you want to go crazy with it. Some decent course history, actually. But yeah, like Jesse said, you don't like want to endorse all these people, but you have options if you have to pick and choose. I can, I'll definitely, in my 20 maxes, I'll have a little bit of most of those guys I just mentioned, at least scattered throughout there to build some big ones this week, because it is 144 golf for field, T65 and ties make it to the weekend. So keep that in mind. All right, Jesse, let's recap things. 10K and above, who's your number one target?
I mean, it's Tom Kim.
Yep, I'll go Hideki. I'll go Hideki at 10-1. 9K, who do you got?
Corey Connors.
I will go with Matt McNeely. 8K, who do you got?
I'm going to say KH Lee.
I'm going to go Cam Davis. Give me Cam Davis. 75 to 79.
Svensson.
Let's see. I'll be different. I'll go Alex Smalley. Alex Smalley. 7K to 74.
Russell Knox.
I like that one. Give me, who do I want here? Give me Grayson Sigg. 6K range. God, this is, you can tell the field already by the names I'm throwing out there.
Sink.
You like Sink? Like, Armour's not bad, but at 69, if you want to go a little cheaper, I like throwing a dart at Cole Hammer. I think that's an interesting one there. First time here, obviously, but played good in the fall swing. One of the best college golfers out there, so that's kind of interesting to me. Like, everyone likes Justin Su for the same reasons. Cole's a lot cheaper. Let's throw it that way. You don't condone cash this week, so we'll skip that portion until future weeks. But if we're looking at GPP, how are you starting out your GPP builds?
I talked about Jordan Spieth being the pivot. I like Jordan Spieth as the pivot off of Tom Kim there. So him and then KH Lee, and I like your call on Keith Mitchell. He's got the course history, and you just never know about him. I think he's a good GPP play always, or on certain courses.
Certain courses, yeah. I'll go Hideki, Cam Davis, and I was going to go Keith Mitchell. So I'll go those three. Leaves your room to go another high guy if you want, or go low. Depends on what you're looking for throughout the bank. Keith is he's the perfect GPP boy, like all or nothing with killer Keith. So that's what that's all about there. I like that quite a bit. All right, let's look at the DraftKings Sportsbook to see the odds. Tom Kim's the heavy favorite at 12.
Do you have it pulled up?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Brian Harman just moved to 14-1. He's right behind Tom Kim. What in the world just happened?
I was just going to make sure that was correct on my screen.
What?
I pulled it up a minute ago, and he was not there. And then they just
changed the odds. Updated as I switched back.
He was 11-1. Like, Tom Kim was 11-1. Whenever I pulled this up a few minutes ago, and now he's 12, and then Brian Harman is 14.
Holy crap. People are loving some. Harman does play short course as well, but 14-1, you'll never see a dollar from me on that.
Yeah.
What are you liking, though, from everything else? It looks like it might change quite a bit already.
Well, I was wanting to do like a.
Look at Keith Mitchell. Sorry. Keith is 35.
A parlay with with Georgia moneyline tonight, but they're minus 435. And. It doesn't
parlay
really
with
anything.
Tom Hoagie.
Well, if you do with Tom Kim at 12-1 and Georgia, you're only getting from 12-1 to like 16-1. So, or 15-1, excuse me. So
not
it's not a
big jump.
It's not worth doing that because, I mean, Georgia could lose.
Yep.
Corey Connors, 25-1. Cam Davis, 35-1.
I like that.
You know, Spawn at 40. That seems a little bit high to me. And then where's Svensson?
He's 70.
Yep. So those would be my choices.
I like the Cam Davis. I think Siwoo at 45 has some legs to it as well. There's some interesting, like, the pricing is way different than the DK pricing. Let's put it that way. Yep. That's one thing that stands out in a big way right now. If I'm going deeper, though, like, your SH Kim is way – he's got a number here that's way different than his DK pricing. That's pretty bizarre. I just really not any long shots I like. That's the crazy part. I keep scrolling down thinking I would.
It's also not, like, long shot season. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't – like, somebody's not coming off of a
– true.
Like, something, you know, where they hit the ball really well and couldn't putt. You know, I mean, well, at least most of the field isn't.
KH Lee at 35 is interesting. I'll go there. That's another fun one, but – even Hideki at 18-1, I don't hate.
Yeah, that's not terrible value on Hideki.
If you consider Brian Harmon's 14, I'll take Hideki at 18.
And like, Hideki won last year.
Yeah, what are the head-to-heads on these two? Now I got to go look at this, if that's changed at all. Let's see. Where's my Brian Harmon head-to-heads at? Because now we're going to have some fun with this, and then we'll get out of here. I won't kill anybody else's time. Okay, Brian Harmon. You can do group. No, that's not. I don't want groups. I want actual head-to-heads. They're not up here yet.
Yeah, just go three balls. I mean, that's going to give you the best. Like Harmon is plus 150, and then Connors is 160, and then Keegan's 200. So
yeah, I'd take Connors in that one probably, and then the other one you got is Harmon. Oh, it's the same one. Yeah, I'd probably take Connors in that group. Let's put it that way. That's only for it's for the whole tournament. Okay,
Brian Harmon's minus 135 to top 20.
Unbelievable.
You can get and Spieth I love Brian minus Harmon 110 to top 20.
I love Brian Harmon, but this is wild. Yeah, like, what just happened? Did I miss something?
Somebody must have come in with some big money, I guess, on Brian Harmon. I don't know.
Isn't he a Georgia Bulldog? Is that what it's all about? He's got the hype behind him.
I don't know where he's from.
I think he's a Georgia dude, but who knows? But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts as our last event in Hawaii before we head to the Amex 3 golf course, which we all love next week?
No, I don't. But then we got some good events coming up after that, including the Waste Management with the Super Bowl in Phoenix.
And they redid the scheduling because they actually usually Pebble comes after Waste. Pebble now is before Waste. They flipped it. So that way they could line it all up. It'll be perfect.
Yep. Should be a stretch of golf.
We got Torrey coming up. Well, the Genesis coming up. We got some really good West Coast golf.
Hey, and we're going to have the inside scoop on Torrey.
I will tell you how to break 120 at Torrey Pines. Don't you worry, folks. I will tell you how to do it. Hopefully.
Is that the line? Is the line 120?
I don't know. I haven't played in a while because it's been so freaking wet out here. So I haven't picked up a club in like 2.5-3 weeks. It's not going to be good to pick one up for the first time at Torrey Pines.
I'll take the under.
Yeah. Well, I'm usually a bogey golfer, so as long as I just don't completely screw it up, we'll see what happens.
There are going to be some holes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to screw some shit up.
At least you're going to have the
memories.
No, the fucking grandstands around the greens.
Oh, yeah. It's like a hit off of them.
Yeah. Just blow it right into those things.
You brought it up. I almost
free draw,
text you.
Everything.
I almost texted you the other day, but I didn't. The very first day, Thursday, watching golf. Can't remember who hit it. It was Tom Kim, I think, maybe, or someone else. Just pulls one to the left, yanks one to the other, like, grandstands in the other fairway. And literally, the first thing Azinger or whoever says, well, it's a good thing to get relief from that. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's the best, man.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, if I played 18, I don't know what 18 looks like without the grandstands down the right side. Yeah. But with those grandstands on the right side, I mean, I'm obviously not a PGA Tour player, but I'd be aiming way right. And just,
why would you ever miss left?
Right.
Why would you ever miss left?
I mean, doesn't make any sense at all, but
yep. But we'll get all that good stuff for you and more in the weeks to come. But this should get you ready for Sony for more primetime golf. We get to all enjoy that. If you have any questions, Jesse is on Twitter at DFS Golf Cause. The podcast, Always Press DFS. We have the Fantasy Degens Discord for free. If you want to hop in there, the junkies guys are hopping in there slowly but surely. And I'm on Twitter at BDIntric. This was your Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast.